So, it's lovely to see you. I've been sick, and now I've blessed my wife with it and my son. And so that's why they're not here. Otherwise, they're normally here together. It's great to see you all. Sunday was the launch of all the people in the church bringing their first fruits for the property announcement. And may I say, it was unbelievably awesome. Morning and evening, who can guess how much came in, Peter Rouse?
Both
services, whole church, about 2,800 people all together. Change the world, build a building. 5 million. 5 million. Thank you very much, Peter Rouse. Who has got actual faith? 12 million. Thank you very much. 12 million. Can I have? I got 5 and I got 12 and I got. And what else have I got? 20 million. Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister. You can start a ministry, sister, called the Sisterhood.
1 million.
1 million. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The accountant came into my office. We are raising 50 million rand in an economic climate. And exactly 50,000 rand came in on the dot. 0.1%. of the offering. And I pooped myself. 0.1%. I was like, I looked at Andrew and I thought, oh my hat. We've got two choices. Either God has got a sense of humor, well, we've made the biggest mistake of our lives, and we've got to go back to the people and say, come and get your money back. They'll probably still take more than they put in. Or God is unbelievably clever, and he's taking us on an 18-month faith journey. And so I've come to enjoy the fact that 0.1% came in on Sunday. And I realized that you as leaders have given and you are leading people. So either all of us together are unbelievably poor leaders and can't get people to follow us, or we're going to have to get before God seriously in prayer to break open the heavens over our church. Amen. And so actually, I sat yesterday in prayer and I thought, God, what the heck is this? And I felt God say, it's actually a gift to you. It's a gift to you. And my friend Greg Haswell, who used to be a pastor at Hatfield, he phones me about once every 5 years. And it normally goes something like this: hey, Rory, are you okay? And I say, why? He says, I don't know, but I've really been praying for you. So he phoned me yesterday and he said, hey, Rory, are you okay? I said, oh, top of the pops. He says, what are you going through? I said, a few things. He said, like what? I said, like, I need 99.9% of a faith project to come in. And he says, you know, I just had the scripture for you. And it comes from Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. It says, the secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed to you belong to you and to your children. And he said, God has revealed things to you over many years of being a Christian, around finances and around buildings and around the church, that belong to you. You don't have to go and relearn them. You just got to claim them. And he said, actually, there are things that God has revealed to 3CI. The secret things still belong to him, but the things that he's revealed to 3CI belong to 3CI. So every lesson that he's ever taught us belongs to us. And we don't have to go and relearn it. We just got to claim it. And raising finances and building buildings and trusting God and dumb times is one of the things that God has revealed to us. Amen? So we will not go into any form of marketing or manipulating. But we are going to have to go into a season of deep prayer. And this is one of the things, is a picture of, it doesn't mean we are going to stop trusting God for generosity and all of those things. It just means we do have to make a lifestyle change in order to fulfill the purpose of God over the season. So Clint came into my office today and said, hey, Raw, I've walked with you a long time And he said, you make statement like, this is not a financial journey, this is a spiritual journey. He said, that's an awesome statement, but what the heck does it mean to a stranger to the church? So actually, it's a good point. So because a stranger thinks, well, this is not financial, it's spiritual, so hallelujah. But actually, that's not actually what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God is going to use money to teach us lessons, but the lessons are not going to be about money. The lessons are going to be about Jesus. He's going to teach us more about Jesus and about lifestyle and about the church and about sacrifice and about building something sustainable and about cutting down for the sake of the future and about the new generation. He's going to use money to teach us those lessons, but the lessons we're learning are actually spiritual lessons. So we have to explain that to people. And then I think there's an incredible mindset, well, the rich guys in the church, let them pay and my part doesn't play. And then I think there are people, I think Matt Fannin got up the other day in the evening service and he said, hey, last time we had a building project, I was a student and I bought 3 chairs. I worked it out, guys, a chair is going to cost 20 grand. Some guys will be able to buy 50 chairs and actually some 10 students are going to have to get together and buy 1 chair. But at least let's buy a chair or two, you know, and invest in a chair or two and then realize the responsibility that you've actually got. But I really don't want this to be a financial project. I want it to be an investment in the future of our nation. I think some of you know this. I've started learning Zulu, and I've committed myself. I give a couple of hours every week to learning Zulu because I believe that this church is called to play a role in this nation. And we're going to have to be able to speak a language where we can address the majority of this nation with the truth that God is revealing to us. Amen? And so I think we should actually just say, so God, what are you doing? What is the issue at stake? And our dinners, deacons' dinners here, normally cost us about 20 to 25,000 rand every Thursday night. So by cutting that down, we will probably save ourselves 400,000 or 500,000 rand over 18 months. And let it be a constant reminder that we're actually going to cut our lifestyles so that we can invest in something eternal. Amen? So let's get some teaching around building projects and some of the things that we have to give ourselves to. And I hope you're completely free when you walk out of here. Completely free, but understanding the responsibility of what's involved. I think we've got people sitting at the back here. I think the numbers this Sunday were down substantially from the Sunday before, because I think when people hear building project, they leave. So people say, why were the numbers down? I think because some people have left. And I think that's really cool, because we can't actually have people on this journey who don't have faith. Yeah, amen. And so some people have left, and that's okay. It's like Gideon's army, exactly. So let's have a look at Exodus chapter 25, please. And I want to deal with idolatry, and because I think we're going to have to touch it a little bit in this building project. I think there are idols in Pretoria, things like children, bicycles, and people don't think it's an issue. I had a lady in my office yesterday who had divorce papers served upon her because her husband has fallen in love with a bicycle. And I said that to somebody, and they said, it's absolutely impossible. I'm telling you, she got there is no affair. There's no third party. Her husband has fallen in love with a bicycle. Members of our church. And all he does is ride all day, every day. And he loves his body, and he loves looking in the mirror. And now he's served divorce papers because he's actually fallen in love with cycling. And a guy said this to me. He said, oh, I suppose I'm going to have to. He does 7 hunts a year. I suppose I'm going to have to give up hunting. At least one of them. And in my heart, I'm thinking, why don't you just give up hunting for 18 months? Because that's actually the journey that God needs to take you on. And that money that you save is actually God reprioritizing himself in your life. So we're not just working so we can have fun. We're working so we can advance the kingdom of God. Amen? So, it's nice to see you all. Exodus chapter 25. Thank you for the rain, Lord. The Lord said to Moses, Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. Tell them. Don't suggest it to them. Don't give them an option. Just tell them. Bring me an offering. You think, that's a bit hectic. You are to receive. Say receive. So we can't achieve the offering. We can't manipulate the offering. We can't steal the offering. We can only receive the offering. It's received. You are to receive the offering for me, him, not 3CI, for him, from each man whose heart prompts him to give. So if with 2,800 people, they prompted for 50,000 rand, either we're on the completely wrong thing or we need God to do some prompting in people's hearts. And that's only going to come by prayer. Because we're not going to do it any other way than a man's heart gets prompt, and we can't prompt people's hearts. Only God can prompt their hearts. Amen? These are the offerings you are to receive from them. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. These, friends, are personal items that people have in their houses that they would have invested in, and we are going to have to give up our personal treasures. Bicycles, motorbikes. I have a 1983 XR200R motorbike. It was the first gift that my father ever gave me. He asked me to work for it. I worked 3,000 hours, a petrol station attendant, where he taught me the value of things, that if you don't pay a price for them, you'll never ever enjoy them. I've had that motorbike for 35 years. I've just had it restored. I take it back in about 2 weeks' time. And this morning when I was praying, I felt God say to me, that motorbike is going into the building project. It's a 35-year treasure. And I say, no, God. But he has to get hold of that which is deep inside of our hearts. And inside of there's memories, and my father, and petrol station, and pumping petrol, and now this thing is absolutely beautiful. I felt the Lord say, I want it. That's not pressure. I'm just telling you, ram skins and gold and silver will outwork itself in inheritances and motorbikes and bicycles and all those things. A man came to me today. His daughter has got 300 rand in her bank account. And he said to her, she's 6 years old, of that money, how much are you going to give to the building fund? She said, I'm going to give it all. And he said, no, that won't be wise. That's not what God demands, because everybody's got to pay a price. He said, okay, I'll give 100 rand. So she gave one third of her savings into the building fund. It's got to cost us something, guys. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnaces exactly like the pattern I will show you. Same word as reveal. Revelation. Have them make, so this is the priority. Have them make a chest of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high, overlaid with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold molding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the sides of the chest to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Then put in the ark of the testimony, which I will give you. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide, and make 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make 1 cherub on one end and the 2nd cherub on the other end. And make the cherubim of 1 piece with the cover at the 2 ends. The cherubim are to have their wings spread upwards, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim are to face each other, looking towards the cover. Place the cover on top of the ark and put into the ark of the testimony, which I will give you. There above the cover, between the 2 cherubim that are over the ark of the testimony, I will meet with you. Underline it. I will meet with you. Go to Genesis chapter 4 if you don't mind. And verse 24, Genesis 3, sorry, verse 24. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So they take up an offering, and the first thing God establishes is, I want a place to meet with people. That's the first thing I'm going to do. I want a place where I can meet with people. So this issue is not about a building. It's not about gold. It's not about ram skins. It's actually about creating a place where I can meet with people. And so God, we are investing in a place where God wants to meet with people. That's the priority. And this is what he says. There are two types of angels. Some of you know this, some of you are new. That's why we're repeating it. There are two types of angels in the Bible. Judging angels and worshiping angels. Cherubim judge, seraphim worship. He says, take the judging angels, the one that I put to guard the way into the Garden of Eden. Take those angels and put them in the place. Make them of one piece, wings stretched out, looking down towards the cover where the blood met. And their nature, those angels' nature, is to judge. Their nature is to judge. But they must look down onto the mercy seat, and on the mercy seat will be blood. And so their nature is to judge, but when they look at the blood, they forgive. And God says, there I will meet you. So bring your gold, bring your silver, and I'm going to hammer it into a building that will face down towards the blood, and there my people will meet with me. And so he'll use every resource to create a meeting place. And so whether your money goes into a chair or into a coffee machine, it's actually going into a place where God can meet with people. Amen? That has got to be our priority. And we have to bring it to the attention of our people. We have to teach our people. We have to show our people. We have to address our people that is the priority of this project. Turn me, please, to chapter 32, horrible chapter of Scripture. We know the story of the golden calf. You can read it. It's good to read the whole thing. Let's go from verse 5. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there'll be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings, presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. It says this in verse 13. We know the golden calf has been built. In verse 13 it says this, remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You see that? Remember how we started the building project. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. The three men that had seen the provision of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, he is about to deal with the golden calf in people's lives, and he deals with it by giving them three pictures of Christ. The Lamb upon the throne, Abraham, the bread and the wine, Isaac, the lamb upon the throne, and Jacob, the ladder linking heaven and earth. He says, if you want to deal with idolatry, I'll tell you what idolatry is. Idolatry is when something good becomes something paramount. So idolatry is actually, in its essence, not bad. Hunting is not bad. Cycling is not bad. Gym is not bad. Clothes shopping is not bad. But when fashion becomes paramount to you, when you buy clothes at the expense of going into debt and breaking scripture, then clothing becomes idolatry to you. I've said this, guys. There's some thin guys in this church, and there's some fat guys in this church, and some of the thin guys have got idolatry in their hearts around their bodies, where some of the fat guys are free. But if you look at them in the eyes of the world, you think that guy's free and that guy's bound, and actually it's the other way around. Because something good has become paramount. And it draws an enormous amount of attention, and it takes an incredible amount of energy, and if you touch it, it strikes back. And what we're doing now, friends, is that we are touching some major idols in Pretoria. And you've got to know they've got to strike back. But Moses tore the calf down. I'm prepared to tear the calf down with you. And your offering was exceedingly generous. But our people have to follow us. And we've got to lead them into it. And we've got to keep pulling that calf down. And I don't know what my motorbike, I shudder to think of giving my motorbike away. I shudder. But I hope it will start to rattle the foundations of the Bicycle Brigade of Pretoria East. I hope. I hope it will start to rattle. I went into a garage in another town this last week. I was away doing ministry somewhere. I went into a garage. I promise you, there was 1 million rands worth of bicycles in that garage with a man who lives on the border of debt. He has got a 250,000 rand bicycle for one race of the year. 250,000 rand bicycle. I thought the greatest thing I can do now is push this against the wall and break its carbon frame. And I'm telling you, the glory of God would break into his house. And so, friends, this is not an easy church to be part of, but it's things that we have to deal with. Because I think that we are pandering to idolatry, and when you pander to idolatry, the church then goes into competition with idols, and we've got to lift our voices high and start marketing because we're in a competition. I think it's much better to pull the idol down and to do what God says, take up an offering so that you can build me a meeting place. Amen? So it is going to affect our lives. It's going to affect our lives. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's go for time's sake to verse 22. Do not be angry, my Lord, Aaron answered. You know how prone these people are to evil. God's people, eh? He's talking about God's people. They said to me, make us gods, which will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold and I threw it into the fire, and abracadabra, out came this calf. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control, and so became a laughingstock to the enemies. So he stood at the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. Friends, Moses saw that the people were running wild and Aaron had let them get out of control. That word running wild is exactly the same word in Proverbs 29. It says, without revelation, people cast off restraint. It is exactly the same word. So running wild and casting off restraint is the same word. Now let me tell you how we work as a leadership here. There are two different ways that leadership works. Leadership either works with control, or leadership works with revelation. Control says, this is how you must behave. You're running wild. You're out of control. You've thrown off restraint. So I'll put a set of rules upon you. And eventually that pops people. They go into rebellion or they become robots. Yes, sir, no, sir, anything you say, sir. Yes, sir, no, sir, anything you say, sir. Yes, I'll go to home group on Tuesdays, prayer meeting on Wednesdays, come to leaders on Thursdays, double Sunday service. Yes, sir, no, sir, anything you say, sir. But you die inside. You just die. And there's another group that just kick against it and say, don't tell me what to do, which is what Pretoria East is, lives in between both of those things. But revelation, it says, without revelation, people cast off restraint. So let's reverse and say, with revelation, what happens? People come under restraint. They come under restraint. And so the things, the secret things belong to God. The things are revealed to you, same word, revelation, belong to you and to your children. And so actually, we have to lead this process with revelation. I have a revelation of the Father. We have a revelation of generosity. We have a revelation of the local church. We have a revelation of free worship. We have a revelation of community. We have a revelation of the nations. We have a revelation. Just write down what God has taught you since you've been in this church. It belongs to you and to us. Amen? And the way we have to lead our people at this time is ask God to prompt their hearts and to open their eyes to the revelation of what he's busy doing, which is building a house so that he can meet with people. Otherwise, they're going to see a thing on the board, a building project, and they're going to look at it, but don't actually realize. This is what Paul prays. I keep asking. I keep asking, because not just once, I keep asking that the glorious Father might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, not so that you know what to do with your career, so that you might know him better. I keep asking. And so, guys, we're going to have to keep asking. So yesterday, after hearing the news of 50,000, I thought, oh my hat, what does that mean, God? It means you're going to have to just keep asking. You're going to have to keep asking. Because actually there are enough men in this church and women that can actually write 150 million rand check and the process is done. But that's not what God is teaching us. He is building a building so that we can actually invest in people's lives. That's got to be a revelation to you. Otherwise, you will not have restraint come upon you. You will continue to live exactly as you are. And we need restraint, not control. Please, friends, do not accept control. Not from me. I hope I never put it upon you. But if revelation comes upon you, let revelation constrain you. Amen? And I think that leadership is sustainable and will keep people free always. But it will still be sacrificial. I think there are enough Krugerrands in this church hiding in the corners of people's cupboards to pay for the building. A man came to me and said, we just need 2,000 Krugerrands. You realize that? Just 2,000 Krugerrands. Somebody was telling me there's a plumber in the city who's got a thick pipe in his garage, and every month he buys 2 to 3 Krugerrands. Got no safe, he's just got a pipe in his garage and he just drops them in the pipe. And he says oaks have broken into their house and his Krugerrands just park in his pipe in the garage. Can you imagine? He's not part of our church. You're all thinking of Pete. It's not Pete. Imagine that. But it's revelation. What does it mean to empty that pipe into a building fund? But actually, my gold will go into a development where people can meet with God. That is the priority of heaven. And he will take everything inside of people that wants to be judged, and he will form a building that looks down onto the mercy seat, and they will meet with the redemption of God. Amen. Chapter 34. So we know there's a command. Tell the people to bring me an offering. But only from the people whose heart God promised to give. So that's the command. Moses can't take it up because the condition of the people are not in the right place. So he's got to deal with the calf first. And the second thing he does, he goes into the presence of God. And he says an amazing thing in verse 14, chapter 33, verse 14. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from everybody else on the face of the earth? What is the distinguishing feature of Christianity? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked, etc., etc. Chapter 34 and verse 6. You know this 100 times. And the Lord passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Those 7 things are the distinguishing features of Christianity. Those seven things is what makes a church different from anybody else. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Qatar, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Those seven characteristics draw the money that is needed to build the building that God wants. So it's not good just to pull the cloth down and say, we're going to rip down this idol. We also have to display a characteristic that attracts the investment of people. And I believe God will trust a church with those seven characteristics. And I believe God will trust the leadership with those seven characteristics. And I pray over these 18 months, you and I as leaders of this church have become more compassionate, more gracious, more slow to anger, more abounding in faithfulness, more abounding in love, more maintaining love to thousands, and more forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's what Moses is putting into place here. The command still states, take up an offering. Chapter 35. We see that in verse 34 and 29, Moses comes out with a radiant face. All I'm asking you guys is when you lead your home groups, lead them with a radiant face. That's all I'm asking. Lead them with a radiant face. The Bible says in Psalm 34, I think it says that those who look to the Lord are radiant. Because if God doesn't come through for us now, we are going to see I am going to see my backside so badly. But I don't have an ounce of fear. I felt God say it will be weighty but not heavy. I don't feel an ounce of heaviness. I do not feel the pressure to raise the money. I don't feel the pressure to give all the money. I will lead from the front. But I do believe I have a responsibility of being radiant. That when I stand in front of people, they can see that I've been in the presence of God. Amen? And I thought 50,000 rand, I thought I'm going to have to spend a lot of time in God's presence between 50,000 and 50 million. And God says, but that's actually the lesson I'm trying to teach you. Because otherwise you're not going to be able to minister to the people I'm going to send to fill those seats if you don't prepare your heart in my presence. This is a beautiful journey we're on. We're going to pay a price together, but like our friends in the army who we sacrifice together in the army, my friend is sitting here. When you sacrifice together, you can live together for a long time. Now, I'm going to choose a day soon. Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know when. But for the next 2 or 3 months, I'm going to be at this Boma with my Bodum of coffee. If you want to come and join me, you can come. If you don't want to, that's fine. But you know, a Bodum of coffee costs 7 or 8 rand. Going out for 3 or 4 cups of coffee costs 200 rand. And so we're going to have to change the terms of engagement. Where we engage, how we engage. But the reason is to prepare a meeting place for God. Moses assembled, chapter 35. The whole Israelite community and said to him, these are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days, blah, blah, blah. Verse 4, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. That's the redemptive name of God. Whenever you see Lord in capital letters, it's the God of redemption. Everyone who is willing, please underline it again, willing. We're not going into a drive to raise money. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, exactly the same as Exodus 25. Blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ramskin dyed red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing, for the fragrant incense, etc. All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle with its tent, its covering, clasp frames, crossbars, etc., etc., etc. Where's this thing now? Verse 36, chapter 36. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary, are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings that the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring free will. Say free will. Underline it. Highlight it. Free will offerings morning after morning. I got home yesterday, and the security guard at our complex said to me, he said, "Mr. Dyer, a very strange thing happened." I said, "What?" He said, "A man drove past your house on a bicycle and threw something at your veranda." So I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I don't know." So I said, What do you mean? He said, "No, he drove up to your house and he threw something onto your veranda and then he drove away." I said, "Who?" I don't know, it was a letter bomb or... He said, "No, he just drove away. He lives here somewhere, but he drove away." And I got on my veranda and there's an envelope that says, "Dear Rory, 35 years ago, 54 years ago, I think it said, my parents had the privilege of sowing into a church building in Centurion. Now I get the privilege, with love and appreciation, anonymous, 6,000 Rand. And right there I realized why we never got 50 million Rand in. Because it's going to actually be made up of 6,000 Rand, free will, willing, anonymous, thrown from bicycles, sold from motorbikes, given up from a gold ring from your mother. It's going to be made up of miraculous amounts through deep dealings by revelation of God's people. I actually said to Mel, "This is holy. This 6,000 Rand is holy." As a man has processed, or a woman, I don't know who it was, I think a man, has processed his contribution to the fund. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work that the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained. Without revelation, people cast off restraint. With revelation, people become so godly that they have to be restrained. So the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Revelation will build this building. Control will not. Can we get on our knees, friends, if you don't mind? For 1 minute. Two. I'll pray a very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, we believe from the bottom of our hearts as a leadership team that you have told us to take up an offering to build a building. We do not worship buildings, Lord God. We believe that the people are the church. We do not worship buildings. We are not trying to compete with anybody in our city. We are trying to provide a place where people can meet with you that is attractive but not boastful, that is wise and yet extravagant because you are. And we need our people's hearts to be prompted by revelation, not by control. And so I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself. I don't know if those plans have to come alive. I don't know if you will meet people with angels at night. I do not know if it will come through the stupidity of a shepherd preaching. But however it needs to come, I pray, Lord, it would open the eyes of the people of this church by revelation. And that revelation will call a constraint, where that constraint will eventually have to be restrained. Because the constraint has broken all expectations. I pray that we would have to restrain our people because of revelation and never control them. I pray this prayer, Lord God, and I pray a blessing over this church, a blessing over these leaders, a blessing over our people. In Jesus' name, I pray the golden calf of people's lives, that which is good, that which is great, which has become paramount, will be pulled down so that your name can be glorified. And I pray the thing that makes us different from everybody else, compassion and grace and slow to anger and abounding in love, I pray these qualities would be more and more evidenced in our relationships, our marriages, our lives, our singleness, our togetherness, our worship. In every way, I pray, take this word, plant it in our hearts, and produce fruit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. What do you say, Doctor? Yeah, you're allowed to know. The leader's contribution is 1.5 million rand. Yeah, which is absolutely amazing. Yeah, I think it's amazing. But we've got to realize it's the first contribution, you know. And actually, I think we get an amount in our mind, and I think God will. The last building project I did, I had an amount in my mind and end up giving 8 times that amount. So we can't. I don't think we should determine what that amount looks like. And I think we should just be open to God for it. I think the process is hopefully we'll be on site on the 1st of June. We are going to buy a tent and put it on that field. So it's going to be the inconvenience of meeting there. Eugene met with the owner next door. We want to set up our site next door so it's not dangerous for our children. So we're going to rent that property next door and knock a hole in the wall. So our building site will be there. And we'll build here. So hopefully from the 1st of June, we'll start building. It'll probably take a year to 12 or to 13 or 14 months to build the whole thing. But every Sunday, we'll be able to see the progress. And when we're finished, hopefully we'll be able to donate that tent to a church that needs it. So right now, that's the process. We looked at going to school halls. We believe to be on our property is actually the best thing. So I want to thank you. You know, to me, Peter, every copper coin is holy. Every copper coin is holy, but we have to know we are. There's a sacrificial element. There's an effect of our lives to this that is not a financial. As Clint said, it is worked out financially, but the issue is actually spiritual. God is preparing our hearts for the next season. Yeah, so just speak well of it. Find a faith in your heart. Prophesy life over it. Speak well of it and release the power of your words into it. And your prayers, and remind people of it, and bring it before them, because the idol will always be there. I think what most churches do is they coexist with the idol. And so that's why you need guys to get up on Sundays and crank the offering. You've got to fight people for their money, because you're in competition. I don't want to be in competition with people. I want to pull down the idol and say, actually, there is no competition. God's the winner. Yeah. Amen. So we're going to tread on some toes and some will leave, but I think some people are going to find freedom for the first time in their lives. So receive this word. It's a strong word, but it's not a harsh word. Receive it and ask God what it means to you. And we appreciate everything you're doing, but we've got a serious 18 months ahead of us. Serious 18 months. Take it seriously. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Fill up on Borevos as you leave and water. What?
May I say something, please?
I don't know. Did you color code yourselves on purpose tonight? It's like, what did you come as, the Curry Twins, or what actually happened?
Okay, family, I want to share something with you in terms of encouraging you. The very foundations on which we are sitting here 13 some odd years ago, I think so it was, the GF will correct me, where you read that they had to constrain the people. We had to do the very same thing here.
Wow.
So what we are standing on is where the leadership of the church had to say, whoa, hold on with your money. We've got more than enough now. Stop with all giving in. And I think Janie will be able to tell you, and Jeff, that's what we encountered. Mm. And because we are in these very same premises, and the same foundation here. It's the same God that we are serving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to take place. I would say, as you said, you are not fearful, you're not anxious about this. I'm not at all.
Beautiful.
Because I know it's this, that which you had given 1.5 is not the end all and be all.
Mm.
Because I know this family that's here, this leadership, we're gonna contribute with every fiber in our being.
Amen.
In terms of the spiritual warfare, in terms of what God has for us in the spirit, so that that which is in the natural will be realized to give Him glory.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Well done. Amen. Thank you, Dennis. And you are an amazing man. Bless you.
Can I share a testimony?
Yeah.
We had home group last night. We had someone who was...
Why don't you stand?
We had home group last night and we weren't speaking about the building fund at all. And someone in our home group actually ended up sharing that they've been married for something about 30 years. And she said she felt God in this week say to her, over the years of their marriage, on a few occasions, her husband's bought precious stones for her.
Wow.
And she felt God say to her that she needs to give those precious stones to them. No ways. And she said that she sat with this wrestle in her heart because her husband over the years had specifically sought these out for her and specifically hunted specific things down over the years for her.
Yeah.
And she said she had this wrestle in her heart of should she do it or shouldn't she do it. And in a quiet time yesterday morning, she just felt God say, just give it. And she spoke to her husband and he started in agreement. So
wow.
I think it's like a first picture.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Amen. Pray that. Pray that for us, Wendy.
So, yeah, thank you, Father God. We've already just seen these first pictures of you starting to work in the hearts of people, Lord, to understand that the things we hold precious, Lord, are not precious.
Yeah.
The things that are precious are the souls of men and women that need to come
into the yes, Lord.
And I pray that you'll remove the scales from all of our eyes, Lord. And I pray that each person that calls 3CI their church and their home, Lord, that you will come and just give us a new revelation on what is precious, Lord. Give us a new revelation of what the word precious means, Lord, that we'll take the things that are the precious stones in our lives, whatever they are, Father God, and we'll lay them down on an altar, Lord, and pay a price for the real things that are really precious to come into the kingdom and to come into a relationship with you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for this testimony that I believe is just an encouragement to us that you've already started doing it. And I pray, Lord, that from that little fire, Lord, it will start to spread, Lord. And as these stories are shared, Lord, that people's hearts will burn and that they'll start to have a revelation and that they'll start to see what's really important in your kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Why don't you stand?
So earlier this week I was doing a study in Esther, and it's the part where Mordecai comes to Esther and says that you need to go and speak to the king. And the first thing that Esther did was send word to Mordecai to gather the Jews and to pray to fast, and that she was going to do that with her. Her maids as well. And God just gave me this picture of that she prayed, then she planned. And God showed me, he's like, this is what the leadership has done up until this time. They have prayed, and they have paused, and they have done this. Then they have planned, and this is what I would bless.
Beautiful. Amen. I believe there's a radical call to pray. Rowan, yes.
Some of you will, most of you will remember that last time Rory spoke about barrenness. There'd been a season of preaching about barrenness, speaking about it, but God bringing fruitfulness. And I came to Rory at the end of that meeting and I said, the scripture that says, Paul says, I'm laboring in prayer until Christ is fully formed in you. And I said to him, I really believe that there's a real call for prayer in this.
Beautiful.
And I SMS'd him the next morning. I remembered a prayer our headmaster at my high school in Zimbabwe used to use often. And it was based on something that Sir Francis Drake said. It says, it is not the beginning of something, but it is the continuing of the same until it is thoroughly finished, which yields the true glory. And then it says, and through him who for the finishing of your work laid down his life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I really sense that at the moment
Beautiful.
We can see this almost like a season of barrenness. However, through laboring and prayer,
Beautiful.
See, Damien used that phrase when we had the one night. He said, we need to be building the church while we're building the church. And I think that needs to be the heart.
Beautiful.